I know it's a long time since I've been here, but I always seem to get this this week in the year to speak. I think it's got something to do with Tim going away, along with a lot of other people. This morning we're considering the parable of the rich fool, as described in Luke's Gospel. It is the first in a series of talks on Luke's Gospel that we will be doing during August. If we look back at earlier in the chapter of Luke's Gospel, we see that Jesus had been speaking to the disciples after a crowd had gathered, following a meeting Jesus had had with a group of Pharisees. The crowd was quite hostile, as Jesus was telling them not to be afraid of those who seek to kill you, but to be afraid of the one who could throw you into hell. He tells the crowd that if they acknowledge him in this life, he will acknowledge them before the angels of God. He did not promise an easy life being a Christian, saying that they would be brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities. But at that time, God would provide them with the words to defend themselves. It was at that time that someone called out to Jesus, asking him to be an arbitrator in the dispute he was having with his elder brother. It was regarding their inheritance. The question was actually very simple to answer, as the answer is set out in Jewish law in Deuteronomy, chapter 21 and verse 17. He must acknowledge the son of his unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him double share of all that he has. That son is the first sign of his father's strength. The right of the firstborn belongs to him. So there's no real reason to actually ask that question. One of the reasons the man was calling out was because Jesus was a rabbi, and rabbis were always asked to judge on a point of Jewish law. However, as the answer was so clearly defined in law, and the man was obviously due his fair share, it seemed to be more about what he wanted rather than actually asking the question. Jesus did not want to become involved in the dispute. It was not something he'd come to speak about. Jesus' mission was not to settle differences, which were already clearly defined, but his mission was to bring mankind back to God. You could say that Jesus was more concerned with the attitudes of those involved, not who got what. In fact, Jesus' response to the man is far from being cordial, addressing him as man and asking him, "Who appointed me as a judge or an arbiter between you?" Not a particularly friendly response. But as it is today, an arbiter can only be appointed if both parties agree, and this was clearly not the case at this time. Jesus then goes on to warn the people by saying in verse 15, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. The life does not consist of an abundance of possessions." I think this needs to be reiterated again today. As we live in a world where greed seems to be one of the predominant driving forces of many people and even of nations, although this is often down to individual people rather than the whole of the nation. And I won't talk about my views on that at this time, as they're not relevant to the passage. Jesus was concerned about people's reasons for their actions and not the actions themselves. Jesus told the parable of the rich fool in answer to the man's question. He told it using the context of a farming community where there had been a rich harvest and the farmer had insufficient room to store all his grain that he had been able to harvest. So he built bigger barns to store his grain. But it was his attitude that he was condemned for, that he would take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. If you look at the reading, there are six times I appears along with a couple of he's, along with himself and myself. The principal interest of the man himself was not others and not God. Let us consider verses 17 to 19. He thought for himself, "What then shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take it easy. Drink and be merry.'" He was only thinking of himself. I ask you, are we guilty of this in our own lives at times? What do we put before our commitment to God? We are all quite rich compared to many other people in this world. We may have a good pension, a lovely house, a nice car, time to do what we want, have nice holidays. And yes, I did have a good time while I was away. I could ask, could we be criticized by Jesus for being like that rich fool? I don't expect you to answer that now. It is something that you need to go away and consider. In our reading, God said to the man, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." God did not mince his words, did he? We are not told if the man went to heaven or hell, but I suggest it would be the latter, because he did not prioritize where he stood with God above all else. We need to be sure where we stand before God above all else. When I was preparing this talk, I was reminded of a story that I once read and I shared in part at Wednesday service. It was from a book called The Disciple by Jean Carlos Ortiz. A man was approached by someone who had a great pearl that looked magnificent and was worth a vast amount. And the man was offered the chance to buy it. the man asked what would it cost. But the seller said, "What do you have that you can offer me?" The man replied, "I have some savings." So the vendor said, "What else do you have?" The man replied, "Well, I have a car." The vendor said, "Okay, but what else do you have?" The man replied, "I have a house." The vendor said, "What else do you have?" The man said he had a pension pot for his retirement. The vendor said, "What else do you have?" The man said, "I have a wife." The vendor again said, "What else do you have?" The man said, "We have two children." The vendor said, "What else do you have?" The man said, "I have nothing else but my life." The vendor said, "Fine, I will take all that you have listed and give you this great pearl, a pearl of wisdom. By the way, you can look after all those things that you listed for me as long as you share the wisdom of this pearl with others and use what you have in serving others." The vendor was, of course, Jesus, and the pearl was the wisdom to obtaining eternal life. We cannot purchase eternal life, but if we've been given such a wonderful gift, we can only respond by giving back what we can. I may not have remembered all the things that the man said he had, but I hope you get the gist of the story, that being committed to following Christ is about giving everything that you have to his service, and that includes all your personal possessions and funds. That is what the rich man in our reading did not understand and considered only himself. With that, I will say thank you for listening, and amen.